Good evening, everyone.
Praise God
for a new day. You know, we can find so many reasons sometimes to just complain and, oh, it's a Wednesday like it's a Monday. But we should be thankful that God has given us life and it more abundantly.
Yes.
What do we have to complain about?
Amen.
You know, thank God that we're alive and able to do the things that God has called us to do.
Amen. So tonight we're going to get right into the Bible study. This is book night. It's a night for us to be able to study the book of Proverbs, and we want you to be able to enjoy it. If those of you that are watching by live stream, you can be able to participate as well and be able to be part of tonight's book night. I'm glad to have you all here. I'm glad to have those of you that are watching. Those of you that are watching, you can be able to participate as well and let us know that you enjoyed the time here together. It's just a blessing to be able to be together on a regular basis. Kathy, are you ready for this?
We're ready. Are we ready? All right. Okay. Well, guess what? Tonight we're going to a new scripture. We're going to start off with a new scripture in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29, we're still there, and verse 21. I think I'm going to just hold this right here.
I'm going to take this and put this here.
No, I could just do this now.
Okay, and I'm going to take and put the
We're still trying to get organized, you guys. This little podium here is not that
big.
Well,
we'll get something else on order. How's that?
So there you go. Okay, Proverbs 29. Are you ready?
Praise God.
Well, praise God. I'm glad you're ready.
Or did we pray?
I think we did pray, but you can pray again. Doesn't hurt to pray.
Father, bless this word that we're about to receive now. We call it blessed. But you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from all destructions. And we thank you, Father, that you're sending your word to us tonight. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said again,
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So let's see where we have left off. We're in the book of Proverbs. And 29, and let's see here. We are at verse number 22. Okay, so Proverbs 29.
Okay. There's 29, 21 up there.
29 and 22. Hold on, let me. Okay. Let's see here. You can help me out. If you got 22, you can read it.
Okay.
29, 22.
Why don't you put 22 on the board there? There we go. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgressions. Now, whatever happened to our readers? Why don't we have
readers? You didn't want readers.
I did. The first week.
You didn't want readers.
First week, I didn't want any readers because we didn't know what we was going to do. Who wants to read tonight? Is there anyone that would like to read tonight?
Okay. We got some volunteers.
Charles in charge. Okay. Yeah. Charles Andrews will be reading for us tonight. Joining us on the floor. Okay. So why don't you go ahead and 20 and 20. 29, 22. Go ahead and read that.
Read that, and then I'm going to read it out in another translation.
Right.
A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor.
Okay. In the TPT translations, it says, the source of strife. Say source.
The source.
Now, we have to think about that word source, because there's always an origin.
A beginning.
You know, I love what Jesus said. He said he's the beginning and the end.
I'm
the Alpha and Omega. So there's a beginning. Think about it. There's a beginning of our life and there's an end of our life. And it's what we do in between, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it says the source. There's always a source. And even if you're dealing with sickness, there's a source.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to attack that. This is something good. Now, make a mental note if you're not going to write it down. I want to attack the source. So let's say your foot is swollen. Okay? So if when you pray over your foot, then what you want to do is pray and ask and come against the source of that swollen foot.
Because
mm-hmm. yep. there's always a source. And so it says the source of strife. So this contention, the strife is found in an angry man. So the source is in an angry person. Not just a male, but a female, or, you know, everybody. The source of strife, say the source of strife.
The source of strife.
Is found in the angry man heart. Now last week, I think it was last week, we talked about Cain and Abel in the book of Genesis. And I submitted this to you and I said, we need to find out, because Cain was angry with Abel, mm-hmm. his brother. And I think about it, he was angry with his brother, but God was the one that was dealing with Cain.
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes when you get upset, you notice how people will take out anger on you, and you haven't even done anything. You were just there, mm-hmm. and so they took their anger out on you.
Right.
Because Cain was dealing with God. And because of that, his brother was close by, and he was upset, mm-hmm. because God... Okay, so we know the story. Basically, we won't go there in Genesis, but it's there. And God was pleased with Abel's offering. And
Wait. Mm-hmm. See, okay. And this is what people say.
Now, we're talking about relationships,
all y'all want
too.
To talk about is money. Mm-hmm. That's all you talk about is money. There you go again. You have to talk about money. We are not talking about money. The Bible is talking about offering.
Right.
Duh. Don't get mad at the preacher because he's reading your Bible. I'm here reading your Bible, and you're going to get mad because I'm reading your Bible. You read it then. It says the exact same thing. So all you talk about is money. Okay, but yeah, see, and this is what I'm saying. God brought that up about offering. Now, that wasn't money then. It was actually fruit of the ground that was presented to God.
But the principle still holds up.
Well,
because sometimes there's people that feel like, oh, that's just a favorite. You know, they're God's favorite. Or even a child in a household.
Yeah.
Mom and daddy likes her better than he likes, you know, they
now,
like
let's
me.
Let's be honest about it.
Sometimes some of the kids, you
do start feeling like, now you got to get adjusted. You got to get back. You got to get right. You got to get right. You know what I mean? But you know the one that's always a knucklehead. You know, boy, what you doing? Girl, what you doing all the time? And, you know, and you try to be fair, but sometimes you know. Oh, okay. I'm the only one that's like this. Okay.
No, they're laughing. They know. They can relate.
Do you know what I'm talking about? But you have to learn how to deal with each one of those personalities.
Right.
Because they all are unique and they all are created by God for a unique purpose. And we have to help them to get that purpose out and to be able to glorify God with what God has given them, even if they don't know what God gave them. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
See, and this is what I'm saying, because this is we're talking about. I said it the other day. Well, go to Titus. Go to Titus 1. And I think it's 14. I don't know. We'll see when we get there. Titus, I'm not even going to turn. I'm going to just look at the book. I mean, look at the wall. Okay, Titus 1. Titus after 1st and 2nd Timothy. I was talking to someone concerning this today. It's 16. Maybe it's 16. I don't know. Let's keep going. I'm not going to. Oh. Okay, I said 14, 16. Okay, uncle. Somebody find the scripture right along there that says, to the pure, all things are pure. Does anybody see that scripture?
15?
Oh, there it is. It's in between 14 and 16.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
You got it.
To the pure, all things are pure. See, it's you got to watch how you look at stuff. And sometimes people just, they don't... Their glasses that they're wearing to look at this world make them cross-eyed. I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm just trying to talk real. But you tell them I love you, and what do you really mean by that? I mean I love you. Three words. What do you mean? Do you really love me, or are you just saying that because you want me to think that I love you because you really don't love me, but you want me to think that I love you because last week you didn't tell me that you love me?
But you know, that's why some people don't go to church, though.
They don't think are pure at your church.
That's right. Everybody's a hypocrite. The pastor is a hypocrite. The deacons are a hypocrite. The people are, and I'm saying, you know, and I wrote this down tonight because of this scripture, that we have to, one way to help you to forgive people, we have to realize that, or, you know, for you, if you're walking in unforgiveness to forgive people, you have to realize you're not perfect.
That's right.
That can help sort of, you know, pull your chain a little bit. You know what I'm saying? That you have to realize, and that can help you to forgive other people, to realize, you know, I've done some things and I needed forgiveness. You know, that's why I'm not, you know,
Don't look at me now. She started talking about forgiveness, didn't you? Okay.
No, but, you know, that has helped us.
Of course.
In our marriage.
Of course.
Because there's times where I needed your forgiveness. There's times you needed my forgiveness. And so it helps to know that if you keep living, you're going to do something that you're going to need forgiveness.
Amen. That's right.
And that can help you, if you process that can help you to forgive other people.
Yeah.
Because they're just human. But I know I'm sort of going off the trail a little bit about pure.
We're going through what the word.
But that sort of helps you be pure in your mind to say, you know, and you have to process things and say, well, maybe everybody in the church is not like that. And it's sort of like, you know, well, what kind of person are you? By just judging that says you need help. Because you don't know that.
Right.
Even in the Bible, it says for an elder, you have to have two or three witnesses if you're going to have an accusation. Remember, we talked about that several weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And so how can you generalize, you know, everybody, I'm talking about the church right now, everybody in the church, because you're not pure in your own, and maybe you would be like that. Maybe you couldn't handle, you know, doing this or doing that. And maybe you're thinking of yourself. And that's why, you know, even your word being good or not, because you think everybody lies. Well, maybe that's because you do all the time.
Right.
And so it's hard to be pure when really, if you think everybody's wrong and you're right all the time, then there's something that's going on with your heart, really.
Right. But let's look at this scripture and let's break it down. To the pure. So there are people that have pure thoughts. See, and we live in a society that's very dirty. I wrote the book, Casting Down Imaginations, and Take Control of Your Thoughts. So God gave me some insight on this stuff. That thoughts are submitted to you consistently, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, now every second of the day. I can't remember the billions and billions, probably trillions in a year or whatever, of text messages, communications, voicemails, and all the things that go on. I used to have that information. It's just old now because it has increased so much. There are so many submissions to us, we have to learn how to handle them.
Amen.
But if we do not learn how to handle them and be able to make decisions, no is not a bad answer.
That's right.
Especially if it's something that you shouldn't be involved with. Saying no is a good thing. But now it's saying to the pure, there's got to be somebody that's got a pure mind around here.
And it didn't say to the perfect, though.
That's right. It's to the pure. In other words, you don't look for something to be crazy. You're not looking for everybody to be wrong or evil or you know, up to something. Listen, let me just say this. You are not the convictor of sin. That is not your job. The Holy Spirit is the convictor of sin.
Amen.
And he knows how to deal with stuff that is done in secret. You have a conscience, I have a conscience, and your conscience will beat the mess out of you and me too. If we know that we're lying about something that we did or didn't do or whatever, should have done, couldn't have done, would have done, whatever, however you want to categorize it. To the pure, all things are pure. It's just the way they look at things. They don't look at the glass half empty. They have a very positive look at things, and sometimes people are just negative. And they, you know, because my cousin, he stole one of them, you probably stealing it too. No, I didn't even think about that stuff. And so you have to be able to make sure that you're not trying to be God's judge.
Amen.
See, God ain't trying to keep people out of heaven.
No.
He's trying to get them in. And so for a lot of Christians, they're trying to keep everybody out as if it's some exclusive club. Hello, talk to me, somebody. And so the thing is that we got to get off of this thing that, well, they're probably doing so and so, such and such. You know what that's used for? To stifle churches.
That's the work of the devil.
Because,
right?
Yes, there's six things that God hates, and one of them is sowing discord among the brethren. You got to be a sisterin or a brethren to sow the discord among the brethren or the sisterin, which means you are a Christian and you have to have a responsibility of stop running your mouth all through the church, tearing up the church. And the woods are full of them. We have never had a church split here. And I ain't having one now. I said, I ain't having a church split now. Get your butt out of here. I said, butt out of here. If you don't want to be here. And you two watching on a live stream. Too scared to come in. I am a father. And I got a father right now. I'm a daddy. I whipped butts. I whipped them while they were still crying because I knew what was best for them. And some of these grown adults, 50, 60 years old, need their butts whipped. And I happen to be a butt whipper. Spiritually, I would never touch you physically. But spiritually, I will whip your butt. See, because I ain't done yet. Don't try to. She's a Holy Spirit kind of person. You know, the Holy Spirit said, comfort, comfort, comfort. He's giving them hard stuff. Comfort, comfort. And so she going to throw in something that's going to make you feel good. Okay, well, I don't want you to go there either. But you got to understand this. And then people are like, well, they're mean over there. They're mean. You lying dog. We are about a ministry that God called me to. Of excellence and integrity through the word of God. We don't have excellence. We don't have integrity. We have no ministry. So we're not going to put up with some old sloppy, raggedy, dumb acting because you don't do it at work, folks. And those of you who got a business, you will not be in business. You keep being sloppy with your clients. So let me finish, Kathy. Come on in here. Okay, but I got to deal with this. Because see, there's pastors right now saying, preach it, Pastor Shorter. Well, play it to your congregation. Let's get them straightened out. Because churches deal with this.
Yeah.
We really deal with this. People running around judging all kinds of people, trying to act like they're the Holy Ghost. Sit your up down and go pray.
Amen.
Let the Holy Spirit convict whoever's got to be convicted. And you... Because Jesus said it this way. How are you going to take the beam out of somebody, the speck out of somebody else's eye, and you got a baseball bat in yours? You ain't got no business running around here talking about, well, you got a... Blah, 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 blah. Have you looked at the big piece of timber, the big evergreen tree laying in your face? See, and we got to stop this. To the pure, all things are pure. I don't see anything wrong until it is wrong.
Yeah, right. That's right.
We have to take people at face value.
Amen.
You tell me something, I just believe it until I see differently.
Or the Holy Spirit.
That's right, because the Holy Spirit will tell on you. And here's the thing about it. I want to make sure people understand this, because we're in a different world. We live in a different world. Everything is crazy. And let me just say this, and I'm going to give it back to our comforter-in-chief, and she's going to patch you up, okay? But I'm trying to say the same anointing that will provide for you healing, prosperity, blessings, protection, direction, help, peace. You get on the backside of that and it will kick your rump. The same anointing. So you don't want to go against the anointing by criticizing, tearing up the church. Amen. So if anybody right now is trying to do something with this church, you have a responsibility to let this pastor know. Amen. Anybody got anything to say tonight? Okay, we'll pretend you didn't know anything. Because see, I don't play this. The reason we've gone almost 40 years without a church split is because somebody acts like they're in charge. And that happened to be me for a long time until 7 years ago when I relinquished my duties of that for a period of time, believing that I would come back. I didn't think I'd come back this crazy. I mean, strong. So, some of y'all think it's crazy. But see, I'm trying to help you to understand. To some people, I am passionate. Some people, nothing is pure. They see people at work, they think they're stealing stuff. They see people married to people, he's not faithful to her. Mm-hmm. They don't know nothing about that. Don't know nothing about their marriage. He's not faithful to her. And see, and this stuff keeps going. Well, see somebody else, well, I don't believe he really cares about that church. I don't really think always, you have no evidence of what you're talking about. You're just talking. Because it's coming out of you to the pure, though all things are pure. Watch this now. I'm going to leave this alone after I read this, okay? But to those. So there are those who are defiled. They are dirty-minded. I'm not even talking about sexual things. I'm talking about they just got a dirty mind toward the things of God. Well, they probably messing up the money. They probably stealing the church money. No, that comes out of you. You defiled. You're the one defiled. Sure got quiet in this Presbyterian church.
That's right.
But to those, because there are those that are pure and those that are defiled, which one are you? Do you always look and think there's something wrong with this and wrong with them over there and wrong with them and wrong with that? Man, it's funny that you sound like you're God. Man sees the outward appearance. God knows the heart. You don't know the heart.
Amen.
You don't know. People can look like they don't love God at all, but they're having a hard day or they're going through a tough time in their life right then and they're just challenged. I looked like I didn't want to serve God no more. And at times I felt like I wasn't going to serve God no more. But that was temporary because my heart has always been for God. It was just what I was going through. So we, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled, you're either one of the two, defiled and unbelieving. And I think you could be either or both, probably both. Defiled and unbelieving. See, people that don't believe nothing about the vision that God has given to the man of God, the woman of God, to the church, they don't believe. How do we know you believe? Because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And if you got faith, faith ultimately is an action. What are you doing? Do you show up? If you were not an unbeliever in what we're involved with, you would be here. But to you, it doesn't make any difference to this person that's defiled and unbelieving. Nothing is pure. So no matter what you do, you can talk to them till you blew in the face and tell them all the truth, and they still say, well, I don't see it that way. Who gives a rip what you see? I mean, who gives a rip? Who are you? Who cares what you see? God sure ain't gonna judge me off of what you see. Because God's got eyes that go through more than what your eyes go through. You got people judging you because of the fact that you know, they look at you and cross-eyed and all this kind of stuff. They can't even see through the wall. God saw through the wall, the sheets, the bed, the shingles. Yellow.
Yeah. Amen.
I ain't calling no places, I ain't calling no names, but we need to know. God's always watching. What are you doing? That's what Paul said. I don't even judge myself.
You know, sometimes people can just make it hard. It's like what's going on in the country now. Mm-hmm. You got people that just want to make it hard. They want to fuss. They want to start strife. This is the source of strife. Strife is found in an angry heart. Mm-hmm. You know, and they just, you know, if you're up on the news, they protesting, group of people cussing. Women cussing like men.
And they'll be in church on Sunday.
And be in church on Sunday.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. a lot of them are Baptists. I mean, no offense with Baptist people, but you know, it's just, and they're just fussing, and we're just gonna tear down, and we're not gonna be on one accord, and it's just, it's not much you can do with people like that. You just have to pray, because we all have choices that we have to make. And we can make it hard. Even in marriage, we can make it hard. I can make it hard for you. You can make it hard for me.
I'm being told something.
Okay.
If there is a plan to disrupt this church, I'm going to happen. I just heard it from the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking to the leadership right now. If you're hearing a plan, I don't care who in the world it is, You better shut this mess down. Amen. And I'm on live stream. Amen. The Holy Spirit knows that. But I'm telling you, I'm not playing it. I am back, and I'm back to stay. So get on, get off, or get run over. Because I am not playing no games. I ain't going to hell for you or nobody else. Part of the time while I was out for 6 and a half, almost 7 years, I would wake up and my arms from here to here, and my hands were sweating, so wet. My hands were so wet. And from here to here, it was fire. Fire for 2 or 3 of those 6 and a half years. And when it was over, I said, God, what was that? He said, it was fire shut up in your bones. Because I've called you to preach and you wasn't preaching. I wouldn't let you preach. I didn't even anoint you to preach at that time. I did something different with you. But I think I'm ready to preach now. See, you have to understand, you got to be bold about the things of God. We live in a crazy world. These people are standing up, talking about, I'm a school teacher, and cussing on national television about the education system being changed. A lot of these clowns, these politicians, they're standing up. They know they've gotten kickbacks. In broadcasting and in advertising business, they call it co-op. Where you're going to run a commercial, and I'm just simplifying this, you're going to run a commercial for your business that sells Coca-Cola. And Coca-Cola says, oh, you're going to run some ads about your business, and you're going to feature, if you feature Coca-Cola at 20% off or $25 off or for a case or whatever it is, we will give you a rebate of 50% of what you spend. So you spend $10,000, they will send you a check for $5,000 when the schedule is done, as long as you provide an affidavit of performance showing that those commercials did run. So the station has to sign off an affidavit saying that these commercials did run. We did charge them $10,000. And so they take that, present it to the agency. The agency presents it to Coca-Cola, saying that XYZ business ran these ads. They paid $10,000 for the ads. They was part of your co-op program. They promoted Coca-Cola. They would like to get their rebate check of $5,000. It happened all the time. Now, I happen to believe that some of these scoundrels in Washington, D.C. have been taking money. I'll get you $50 billion in condoms. But you're only going to get $25,000 because I want my cut. It's a kickback. Now, I'll go even deeper. In radio, it's called payola. I tried to talk about this the other day, but somebody sidetracked me. I don't know what happened. In radio... And this is why, you know, with streaming, we just play people's music because they want us to play their music. I mean, if I was a singer, I'd love for people to play my music because people are going to get to know my music, right? Okay. We bought it. I mean, we subscribe to it. I mean, we pay what needs to be paid to be able to use it. And for streaming, you can use it. But in radio, because there were very few radio stations that made the hits, we were one of them, the station that I worked at. And I'm not going to go into all that detail because it's on the teaching that I did on the web. You can go listen to it anytime you want to. I'm not going through that again. But anyhow, in radio, what happened is that The announcers, the disc jockeys, I don't like disc jockeys because that's not all you did. You didn't just jockey between discs. You did news. You had breaking news. You had a lot of stuff you had to take care of, the weather, all kinds of stuff. But anyhow, the announcers would be approached by what we called record pigs. These were the record promoters. We had records at the time. Y'all had CDs and DVDs and, you know, all this stuff, 8-track, 6-track. No, I'm just kidding. But anyhow, you had cassettes. We had records back then when I was in this quite strongly. And so what they would do, the record pigs would come around and try to talk to the music directors and program directors of the radio stations to convince them that this artist is really good. And listen to this song. I want you guys to start playing it, because if you start playing it, people are going to start buying it. Because there's very few stations that like this anyhow in the market. So if you play it, everybody gonna start bebopping to it.
And they used to buy the records. They buy the back records. Then.
Yeah, they didn't download.
They didn't have
stuff.
All the social media.
They didn't
media
download it free right, like you do right now, right. And take people's music for free. But anyhow, you had to buy the record at the record store. So anyhow, so the disc jockey was, I mean, the announcer, he was very, very powerful, because we did not make people, you know, their careers go forward. If we didn't play their music, it could have been the best song in town or that we ever heard. But if you didn't get it any airplay, it didn't work. People couldn't hear it. So they started, the record pigs would come along and they started paying. That's what they called them, record pigs. They're not that, they're record distributors, okay? They would come around talking to a lot of the disc jockeys. And this happened all, you can Google this, you can find it. And they started paying disc jockeys certain amount of money to play certain songs so that they could be able to get that play and get those songs famous to play. People would buy them. It was called payola. But it was illegal. So the disc jockeys was getting a kickback for playing certain songs, and the government came, the FCC came to these people and said, this is illegal. You can't be getting money on the side. They pay you $10,000 to play this record, you know, every hour on the hour or whatever it is, because there's other music and you're being affected. Well, same thing with the politicians. There's a lot, not all of them, but there are some of these politicians standing up there screaming, up there cussing, but they've been taking money back as they give money out. How do you start making $200,000 as a senator or whatever, and then you leave away from there a few years later with $200 million or $50 million? I'd like to know what stock you're investing in. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. How do you help a person like this? I don't know. I really don't. I don't know what you can do. You can pray for them. You can talk to them. I don't know what you can do. We have to keep our minds pure. And the way to do that is to err on the side of grace toward people. Yeah. Instead of always looking at people and thinking they're all just messed up. You know, we shouldn't do that. People are trying to live their lives the best they can. And so no sense in putting people down. They're trying all they can. I mean, I get information as a pastor. My wife and I, we get information in the ministry about people that is, you know, if we had Facebook, we're not even on Facebook. If we had Instagram, we're not on Instagram on purpose, because we don't want to be sitting there. And I know a lot of pastors use it to communicate, and that's fine. But we just don't want to be tied to that, to where somebody put some gossip on our Instagram or our Facebook, right on our wall, or whatever they used to do now. I don't know what they do now. But anyhow, I don't want to do that, because I don't want people to say impure things about people, and then I'm responsible for carrying that. Just the way we fly. Just the way we roll. So to the pure, and there are some of you in this place, you are so pure, you would hear stuff and say, no, that's not true. And there's others, I knew it. I knew it was happening. Tell me, Pastor. Tell me some more. There's no way you can handle ministry. You can't be in the ministry. You can't be a pastor. Because I know everybody's case. Unless they hide it. I just went to my doctor's appointment on yesterday. He's an internist. You know what I mean? He knows what's going on inside. He examined me. I came out with perfect health, perfect blood pressure, perfect everything. Everything is perfect. It's all back to normal. And here's the good part about it. He ain't give me no medicine to get there. Amen. I hadn't seen him in 3 years. God did this. I said, God did this. Now, wait a minute. Because to the pure, oh, praise God. To the impure, and the defiled and unbelieving, oh, I don't believe that. He lying. Who's his doctor? None of your business. I ain't telling, I don't have to substantiate to you that my doctor said I got a clean bill of health. I'll see you next year for another annual exam. I am turning 70 this month. And I am thankful to God I'm not on nothing but B12 because I choose to take B12 once a day.
But you still have to use the box, probably.
What box? No, he told me that. He told me. He said, you're due for your colonoscopy. I said, I ain't taking that.
I said, just use the box.
I said, I ain't taking
little
that.
Man on the commercial.
I said, I'm 70. I ain't taking no colonoscopy, nothing. You ain't doing that to me.
I said, just use the box.
He said, okay, fine. Okay, fine.
I know, but they have the box.
Because you don't have to do it. Am I right, Charles? At 70, you can say, forget you. You take the colonoscopy for me. I'm not taking no colonoscopy. You ain't sticking that thing way up in me.
But you can use the box. The box works.
I don't want the box either. I ain't thinking about the box. My
box
is my prayer time. That's my box. Jesus knows how to tell me how I'm doing well or not. See, to the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. So people will go away from here and say, he lying about his health. He lying. I saw him yesterday. He limped a little bit. Remember, he had swollen ankles on Sunday. You know, something wrong with him. Yeah, I wore the wrong slippers all day long around the house. And it was tightening up my feet. And I watched him grow, and I wouldn't take the slippers off. I should have went bare feet. But there's something wrong. There's something wrong, guys. There's something wrong. You sound like the devil. You tried to tell me I had cancer. I'm just having fun, that's all. Okay, go on. I'm not going to bother you no more. I'm not bothering you no more.
Okay, read.
Go ahead. Let's read another scripture. Do we dare?
No, we didn't finish this scripture.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're on verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 29.
Make yourself not one of those people. Stop being a critical person. Stop looking for problems with people. Stop being criticizing of your pastor. And that's why some of your kids don't like to come to church. Because you sit around and have roast pastor after church. Mm-hmm. In Mexico, there is a dish called El Pastor. And some of y'all have it every Sunday. And your kids hear that mess. Well, I don't know about, you know, I don't know about ribbon doctor shoulder. I don't know about him. And you wonder why your kids acting like devils. Because they can't rely on God. Because you've messed them up. You did it. And so you're going
to
be the one bail them out of jail.
You have to give an account one day. You have to give an account one day for things like that. And sometimes we really forget that, or we don't believe it or something. But it's just, you know, it's just best to just really mind your own business and don't worry about, you know, the lives of people. And unless you have to deal with it, you're in leadership, you have to deal with situations and stuff like that. But even at that, the whole point, and I wrote this down, the whole point of the Holy Spirit revealing things to you, even like when we're teaching like this, revealing things in your life, is to help you. You want the Holy Spirit to correct you, to guide and lead you. But correction is just part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and there are times, the Holy Spirit, you know, somebody could be talking to you and the Lord is saying, you know, they're not being truthful about this. But God reveals that thing to you so you can pray about it and be there available to help people, because the Holy Spirit is there to help us.
Amen.
And that's why he wants to expose and reveal things to us through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God. As you're reading the Word of God, as you're praying, God wants us to correct ourselves. It's a choice.
Amen.
So we're talking about the source of strife is found in an angry heart. So we have to deal with our heart, because God looks at the intent of the heart. And
that's
we
so
have
true.
To always deal with the heart, okay?
Amen.
So go ahead and finish reading.
Verse 23.
Oh, no, finish reading 22.
Okay. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression.
In my translation says, for sin surrounds the life of a furious man. And that goes back to Cain and Abel. You have to get a grip of anger.
Yeah.
That is, you know, and I know sometimes we quote the scripture says, I could be angry, be angry, do not
and
sin.
Sin not.
But, or sin not, okay?
Yeah.
But still, if you let that anger harbor in your heart and fester and stuff, it's going to come out some way in sin.
Amen. So it's going to come out in some way in sickness because you let bitterness take root in you, it will trouble you. You're sitting around there trying to get back at somebody. I'm going to get back at them. I'm going to get back at them. I'm telling you.
It's a waste of time.
I'm sick of people trying to put together plot twists all the time. You're going to sit down with you. Now, I want to say so-and-so, such-and-such, such-and-such, such-and-such. And, you know, throw a couple of, you know, flattery words out there. So-and-so, such-and-such. And then here come the plot twists. But, you know, get out of my face. We had a situation happen in this church when we were building this building, and the Spirit of the Lord is telling me to share it. We had a guy that, him and his wife was actually my wife's assistant, one of them at the time. She had several of them. And he was a truck driver. And he had a drinking problem. And he was running with some other guys in the church, but he would come, he ran the camera sometimes. Anyhow, one Sunday, we got a call from one of the ladies that we had been training in sound, and she said, so-and-so, this guy, is gonna act a fool in church this morning. Nobody will tell you that, but I'm telling you, you guys better be ready because he's coming and he's gonna act crazy. So that one person.
This wasn't this location. This is when we were at a school.
We were at Franklin Pierce High
School. So this is many years ago, you guys.
Building this building. Yeah. This almost 25 years ago. We were building this building. And we were having church at Franklin Pierce High School. And in Franklin Pierce School District, you cannot rent their schools unless you have a building you're going to be moving to within 2 years. So we had to get this building done. Okay. So there wasn't no plan. So anyhow, so we were alerted. We alerted our security. And we do have armed security. I want to say this to those online in this congregation. Y'all need to relax. We do not allow anyone to bring a weapon in this church any longer. If you bring a weapon here, we're calling 911. You just need to know that. We will not even talk anymore. We will call 911 because we don't want to have to deal with it. We will get away from you. We will... At times, our security has asked people to leave and take their weapon out of here. But if we see weapons anymore, because things are so crazy, we're just calling 911. Let them deal with you. We will have a sign out there saying no weapons allowed in this facility because there have been churches that have been shot up. And I ain't having that. Not on my watch. Okay? So you that angry? You need to go to the firing range and shoot off a few rounds. But don't come up in here. Yeah, go golfing. I've learned to go golf now. I don't even golf. I don't walk on the green. I just get $9 for a bucket of 50 balls, and you can knock them as hard as you can. I've knocked the skin off that stupid ball because I'm so... I start drawing faces of people that... No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Having fun. But I'm telling you, it's very
laughter's
important.
Like medicine, okay? Right. He's not trying to be a comedian. It's his personality.
But I came out of entertainment. You want me to not be who I am?
But you were like this before entertainment, okay? So
it's a shorter thing.
It is a shorter thing. Believe me.
My mom was like this. She laughed all the time, you know. She made fun mostly of you or me.
He's not, and that's why I told him that's one thing I just love about him because he doesn't try to be funny. He just sometimes his humor is just I said, gosh, you know.
Anyhow,
where did that come from? You know.
Anyhow,
but anyway,
this guy showed up drunk. 9 o'clock in the morning for our services. We're having two services, I think, here. I can't remember. But anyhow, we were having our earlier service, I believe it was. And all of a sudden, I'm up on the platform after the worship team has started the service. And this guy comes, he was a little short guy. He wasn't real tall. He comes running up to the stage. Our security just grabbed a hold of him, you know. But he's, I'm going to get Pastor Shorter. I'm going to get Pastor Shorter. And they pulled, he half drunk. Pulled him to the side and stopped him. And it just was so stupid because what he wanted to do was disrupt the ministry because he was angry. But But thank God for that one lady that called us. Because we wouldn't have known anything. That guy could have got to the stage where I was had we not been alerted. And that's why I say, you hear stupid stuff going on, you need to say something. And I don't care who you're talking about. That's because we can always delete a text or erase a message. But we can't create what we don't know. And this is why I'm saying, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds. It's full of transgression. And we have to learn how to identify whether a person is angry.
That's what goes, and I'm going to take it back to the political thing. The people stand up so angry and cussing, and I mean, just, I'm saying, you know what? And I said this at the women's meeting. We had a great time. I said, you shouldn't let anybody get under your skin that much.
That's right.
Where you lose all your joy. Now, you may lose a little bit, but not all of it, where you're acting
right,
that crazy.
Right, right.
And so you really have to take control of your own life. So go ahead and finish reading. We're almost finished. We got to get finished with this scripture, okay?
A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor.
It says, lift yourself up with pride, and you will soon be brought low. Now, we talked a lot about, okay, finish. I think you have to finish, though, right? But humble in spirit, did you read that? Okay, it's longer on my new translation. Okay, but a meek and humble spirit will add to your honor. So once again, this is things we have to work on.
We have
a choice to get all bent out of shape and stuff, and sometimes we do. I mean, you know, we're not perfect, and sometimes we get upset, we get angry, but we have to get a grip of our pride, of our anger, and we have to submit ourselves to humility and the Spirit of God. Amen?
Can I finish
that
last part?
Yes.
What happened to that man? We saw a month ago standing in JCPenney's. Was it JCPenney's or Macy?
It was Costco.
Costco. Standing in Costco.
Oh, yeah, this is
his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And she came to us.
No, well, she saw us. She said, I saw you guys first. I saw you come in to Costco. And she said, I wanted to make a point to make sure I ran into you guys to talk to you because I want to ask for forgiveness. And this is over 20-something years ago. And I told her, I said, I forgave you a long time ago. She said, no, I need to ask you for forgiveness. Even though it was my husband acting a fool, you know, I just wanted. And she said, I wanted to, ex-husband now. She's remarried to someone else. And she said, I just wanted to make sure, you know, because I saw you guys didn't see me coming into Costco, but I wanted to make sure I come up to you both and say sorry, you know.
Yeah, well,
that's a big of a person.
That is very big of her to do that, but you know, it doesn't go well.
But a lot of people didn't see her do that. No, see, we start all that confusion, but this is 20-something years later, and they wasn't there at Costco to hear her say, we were wrong, we were sorry, you know. And so, and it hurt some people in the church
and
at the time.
And that's the thing about it. A pastor here is here. And I talk like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. No, a pastor is anointed to lead, feed, and protect.
Amen.
Any one of those three, you start messing with the sheep. Because see, I stood outside that gate of heaven, and I'm not doing it again. I did not get to go through that gate because God had me come as though I was unsaved. So I would know what it feels like for people that don't have Jesus. I will never do that again. But this time, I will. You'll be walking through the gate, but I've got to give an account for you. And I'll be doggone, I'm going to let anybody mess this up.
And that's why you're so passionate.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because I take it serious. You don't have to give an account. You got to give an account for yourself and for what you do. Because, see, some people left the church after they saw that violence because sheep don't like no violence. Sheep want to be nice and comfortable and taken care of. The shepherd has a rod, which is that little hook-looking stick he's got, a rod. I'm sorry, the hook is the staff. That's the staff. And a rod, he takes and that's what he kills the snakes with. The rod represents the word, sending that word out to knock them snakes out. Hit a wolf in the head. The staff is what he takes just to let the sheep know I'm close by. Just taps them a little bit. And I'll do that with some of the congregation members every once in a while. I'll just walk by and say, hey, how you doing, man? How you doing? It's like, okay, pastor's here. Shepherd's here. We need to feel safe. Amen. And I'm going to make sure we feel safe. So if there's some jackleg sucker trying to do something in this church, we're going to have to happen. And I'm not talking. Yeah. And I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about we got to spiritually go to war.
And that's why when you were talking, I thought about Psalms 23. Because God wants us as his sheep to be settled. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. David knew this. He had that anointing. He had that insight. Mm-hmm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Think about it. Not dry grass. Green. You know about green. He leads me beside the still waters. Not trouble waters.
Like Dr. Godot says, not no hurricane waters.
Yeah, really. He restores my soul. I mean, look at how God wants to do us good.
This is the year of restoration.
He wants to do us good. He leads me in the paths of righteousness.
Sounds so smooth.
For his name's sake. And then he goes, yea, though I walk through the valley. God doesn't want us to camp out there, have a picnic.
Through the valley.
He wants you to go through that trouble.
It's a valley, through but it's a shadow. It's a shadow of death. Right. It's not death.
Through that situation. You know, he wants you to go through it. He wants to do us good.
Right.
And it says, I will fear no evil. Why? Why can we say that? For you are with me. Remember at one point in your testimony, you thought God had forsaken
you. That's
right.
He had me feel that. He allowed me to feel that.
Yeah, as an unbeliever. So you are with me, and this is what you had just taught. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
So how are you going to get comfortable if the pastor is never going to use the rod or the staff? Not on the sheep. You're not beating the sheep. No, you beat away the enemy that would try to disrupt the congregation. And that's what I'm saying. Anybody that's going to disrupt this congregation, they're in trouble. Because the same anointing that has healed that woman of an aneurysm that she was supposed to die, healed this woman right here of stroke, and she went into the hospital, came out of there, now is healing her completely of cancer. Heal. There's others in here been delivered, set free, helped him to buy a house.
When Anna with her heart situation.
Anna
had a heart situation.
That's right. Heart situation. Yeah. He just healed her of cancer.
Yes.
That same anointing. Come on, give God some glory. Yes.
Praise God.
I'm going to say this and we're going to quit, okay? There's a thing called getting on the backside of the power curve when you're flying an airplane and it's just getting away from you. You are not controlling it. It's controlling you. You got too much power going, or you're just out of control. You're in an upset situation, sort of like what our pilot friend shared with us about, where he almost hit the ground at 737 at 180 feet. He was brought back from an upset situation by angels. And I'm telling you that God wants you to know that he doesn't want you to be going through all this pressure and pain and hurt. You should come to this church. It should be a peaceful place. Pacific Christian Center, the word Pacific means peaceful. This should be a peaceful Christian center, not some hellish place where people are gossiping and talking about you like a dog. And I won't have it. So you need to come here and relax and stop worrying about what people are saying about you, because to the pure, all things are pure.
And then if you know they're talking about you, you need to come see your daddy in the Lord.
I'm just saying.
You don't have to fight battles by yourself. That's why I'm gonna go see my father. That's why you have a church family. See, we're in this together. Amen. Right. Come on, let's praise the Lord for a wonderful, wonderful night. Strong but good.
Yes. Praise Amen. God. Let's close this time out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against any retaliating demons that would come against the word that has been heard tonight. In Jesus' name, we cancel their assignment to come and now to disrupt what has been said. You sent your word and healed them, God. Heal them body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that the enemy has no place in what has been said. And I call him deaf and dumb of what has been said, and that he can't use it against us in any way whatsoever. I thank you, Lord, that this word will prosper your people because they have received it as it were from you. Father, I pray that peace would come upon this place and upon their lives. In Jesus' name, I call it done. And everybody said, amen.
The Lord put on my heart, practice peace. Turn to your neighbor and say, just practice peace. And you know what the Lord said? Whatever it takes, try to live in peace with people. Whatever it takes. So if that takes where you can't go out to dinner with them anymore because that'll keep peace, do that. See, whatever it takes to keep peace, you need to operate in that. And say a big amen again.
Okay, amen. Go ahead. Praise God. Come on, let's give God praise. Why don't you stand up, everybody, for just a moment. Change your position. Can you give God some praise in this house? Come on, give God praise. He's good. His mercy endures forever. Glory to God. Father, we thank you tonight that we've received this truth. We receive your word in Jesus' name. Call the blessings of God again upon your people. And everybody said again, amen. Go ahead and be seated. For those of you that are watching by live stream, you can now participate in the service by giving. If you've received the word of God, if you got anything out of this, I say to you, just go ahead and share with us. Partner with us by giving into the ministry. Of course, there's ways to do that right there with our text to give, or you can give by going to our website. Now, our website is being redone. We're doing some new things to our website. Soon you'll be able to download teachings very quickly, take them along with you. We have all kinds of different things that are happening with our website. Also, our outreaches are beginning to blossom. You can go to Northco Development, Northco, N-O-R-T-H-C-O, development.org, and find out what we are preparing to do to help this community. Many of our programs, like Future Aviator, Aviators is coming up, pilots, for young folks that want to be able to know something about aviation. We're going to have that award-winning program come back again. It's a STEM program that helps kids to be able to get excited about science, technology, engineering, and math. And it is a program that is, well, we've gotten awards even from Boeing, have given us awards about this program having to do with aviation and STEM. Excellence in Business is coming up very soon. You'll find that information on there also. Excellence in Business. We've had several people launch businesses by being inspired through Excellence in Business. Some of you are business people and you don't know it. You just don't like working by yourself or for yourself. You want to work for yourself, but God wants you to be able to be one of his millionaires so you can give him the glory. I said, you can give him the glory. I said, you can give him the glory. There's probably a business inside of you. You just don't know how to get it out of you. And that's what EIB is all about. So that's coming up soon. And then we have other outreaches that we've been doing for a long time, things that are coming back, many, many things that we're doing. Of course, we always do the backpack thing in August. We also have coming up under Northco Development. Now, this is under Northco Development. Next Wednesday night, we will not have book night. We will have the dream and the dreamers. Can you put that up there, please? We will have the dream and the dreamers, and we're inviting you to be able to come to be part of that night. It's going to be a powerful night. Starts at 7:15 p.m. Kathy, talk about it.
Now
this is the playwright.
What you see
came out of her. Now, the vision came out of me, but the details came out of her.
And all my help that I have, thank God for him. But and we have a little quick rehearsal tonight. But we're asking you to please pass these flyers out. You know what? I think this would really be good if you can just get into some of the schools because, you know, it's history. And so they're going to learn some things, students. So it'll be really good. Also, you can post these. If you go to Fred Meyer's, they have bulletin boards. You can in different stores, so you can post this one, and I think Panera Bread has one, and just different places have one. And I think we were at Taco Time. Yeah, and they had one, and
we had a burrito, and she had one.
Yeah, and so anyway, so pass them out. Very educational.
No, let me just say this. That's the old school way of getting things out. The rest of you, you can be able to put this on your Facebook, on your Instagram. You can send this out to those that are, come on now, you got some friends, don't you? You have any friends? You can be able to get this out to your social media platforms. And I challenge every one of you to invite 10 people to be here next Wednesday night. This is not, it's not going to be a real churchy, religious kind of thing. It is about history. But of course, we ain't going
God is all through this production.
God is all through it, because that's how the African-Americans experience turned out to be, to where we have progressed and not gone backwards still. But if we keep acting fool, we're going to get end up going back. Now, I ain't going, but there's going to be people going backwards again. Because the way we got out is the way we got to stay out.
That's
we
right.
got out with God's help. We're going to have to stay out with God's help.
That's right.
We can't drop God once he get us out of the mess, out of the chains, out of the... Come on now.
Yeah, because you'll just go right back into
bondage.
You'll go
right back. You're liable to go back into if you forget your history.
All of us, if we were to stop worshiping God and stuff, we're just liable to go right back into the old ways, old thinking, old lifestyle, everything else. Every one of us. I don't care how long you've been a Christian.
Go ahead and pass.
Go ahead and pass the envelopes out. Come on, tithers, we need some more people to give at no less than 10% on a regular basis so we can count on that. Amen? We can count on God. Can God count on us? We had a wonderful time at our women's meeting. That was just Monday night.
Yeah.
Now, ladies, those of you that showered me with cards and gifts and stuff, I decided I wanted to wait for my birthday to get a little closer before I start opening up your cards and everything. Okay, is that okay? Okay, so, but thank you so much.
Thank you very much for honoring.
And for the cupcakes again.
Thank you for honoring my wife. When you honor her, you honor me.
Yeah, and thank you. And then we had a lot of other February birthdays, ladies, too. So praise God.
Busy in February.
Now, I want to say we got Abundance 2025.
All right.
I'm going to have the Mannies talk about it pretty soon. I'm going to schedule them because they had an experience with the situation, and they need to share that again because the world, they know how to raise money. Christians, we are lacking in this area. So let's believe God, ask God for your part in Abundance 25. It really does help this church to have the extras, okay? And so you know how we do things. What is my three things? I'm forgetting them right now. We sow, we save, and we spend. Okay, so we do that in this ministry. We sow, we save, and we have to spend on some things, okay? So please do, because we're buying new equipment. We're doing some things because we are enhancing our social media and everything else. So Dion's been working around the clock too.
Dion Bonner.
So thank you, Dion, so much.
I can't see who's back there. Dion Bonner.
Thank you so much, Dion.
Stand up, Dion Bonner, please.
She's been working so much.
She is a blessing to this ministry. She's helped out a lot of the areas, and even that Don Jr. was working on. She's relieving him on some of those things having to do with the website and those kinds of things. Thank you very much. She's the one that created our website for Northco. We're just now populating it. So we got just the categories, but we'll be populating that. When we go further with this, we're going to give you an opportunity to get your employer involved with it, just like they do United Way and all these other agencies. It's a 501c3 Community Development Corporation, CDC, and they can be able to give without feeling like they're giving to the church, because many companies have a policy, because there's so many churches, to not give to churches, but they will give to community development corporations. And even the government gives to those things. And that's how some of these people get in trouble, because they mess up the money. Mm-hmm. And we ain't messing up no money. You know, anybody think about no money. I got enough money. I don't need to mess up that money. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we want to make sure we do all the things that we need to do to be able to help this community. And it's going to be exciting, okay? Praise God.
So fasten your seatbelt.
All right. God says he loves a what?
Cheerful giver.
A what?
A cheerful giver.
Well, if you're cheerful, on the count of three, let's all stand. One, two, and three.
Woo!
Come on, give God praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we can give into the kingdom of God. You said to give, and it shall be given unto us. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men, people. You're touching the hearts of people right now to give into our bosom. You said to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. So we're not leaving any of the tithe. In fact, we're going over and above with the offerings in Jesus' name. We're giving into the kingdom of God because you love us, and you loved us so much that we want to give into the kingdom of God because you have blessed us in so many ways. So we're not paying you back, God. We can't. But we can't give because we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And bless your people. Multiply back to them. Let them know that they have been giving by the return that they receive. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. Let's pass those containers. Y'all excited or what? I'm pretty excited. I'm fired up.
And I want to say thank you.
Y'all.
I do want to thank our tithers and givers. Thank you so much because you're helping it. You're making it happen as you, stay consistent. So thank you, tithers
Come on,
and givers.
CC.
Amen. And those of you that's given to Abundance 2025, thank you so much.
I was drawn to what I could not understand. And for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what he'd have me be is who I am. As I've come to see the weaker side of me, I've realized his grace is what I'll need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said no.
Lift your hands up and just worship
Thank
the Lord.
You, Jesus.
Receive the anointing.
Mercy said no.
God's saying no to the enemy in your life right now. He's saying yes to the blessings.
God so loved the world that he sent his son to save us. From the cross he built a bridge to set us free. Still a war that rages and makes a sacrifice so hard to see. As midnight fell on crucifixion day, the light of hope seemed oh so far away. As evil tried
heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Christians praying and it is one for another. Before we dismiss tonight, God wants you to say yes as he says no to the enemy in your life. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Christians praying and interceding. If you're here tonight and you need to receive Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior, if you're watching by live stream and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, here's your opportunity. Say yes to God so he can say no. Mercy says no to the enemy. I'm so thankful that God said no to the enemy that wanted to take me out. Suffering all that time, thinking that God had left me part of the time. Maybe that's how you feel. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Tonight, I declare I am saved. I receive Jesus. He's my Lord, he's my Savior, and tonight I declare that he is the one that I serve for the rest of my life and into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to give you an opportunity to be able to just let us know. You can either text us or you can be able to write us. you can be able to send us some information by way of email, but we want to know that you received Jesus tonight.